Healthy Alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. My name is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to webtalkradio.net. Healthy Alternatives is about the concept that most of us really want to reach optimum health, optimum well-being. We want to feel good. We want to enjoy life more, live longer, stay healthy. That's what you're going to learn from this show. In this segment, what I like to do is begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can have an impact on you. The notion that's gotten popular very recently is to buy local foods. More and more people are touting that they have purchased their food locally. There's a fallacy here. Local foods doesn't necessarily mean they have to be healthy foods. By healthy foods, I'm talking about organic foods. Organic is a system that's defined in this country. It has legal definitions. There's a handbook of rules, regulations, things that are permitted, prohibited, acceptable practices, and an inspection process, and also labels to guide you, the consumer. If something is labeled local but not organic, it doesn't necessarily mean it has any of these rules or guidelines or inspections or protections. So somebody who is a farmer who, for example, uses genetically modified grains, who uses pesticides, insecticides, fertilizes with chemicals, that in effect is the equivalent of, if you live in New York, of getting your food the same from a farmer in California who does the same exact thing. It doesn't matter that that farmer is with 100 miles radius of you. It's still a food that has been chemically treated, GMO raised, and it's not as healthy for you as organic foods. So if you want to buy locally, great. I agree in terms of the reducing the distance for food miles that the food has to travel, that foods can be picked closer to a level of ripeness to get to before it gets to your table. But what you want to be doing is buying local organic foods. Today, we're going to be talking to a medical doctor. This is somebody who has wanted to be a doctor since age 4. And she achieved her dream by going to pre-med at Princeton. She did an intern at Mount Sinai Medical Center. She's a fellow at the American Academy of Ophthalmology and a diplomat of the American Board of Ophthalmology. But then she started looking at different things and alternative things and looking at ways we can stay healthy for ourselves. And we're going to be looking at those ways we can do, including relationships, to have better outcomes and healthier outcomes for ourselves. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can click on the globe on this page, or you can go to teplitz.com. That's T-E-P as in Paul, L-I-T-Z.com. And you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. Every week, I like to talk to you also about a healthy breakthrough, its new discoveries, latest research, about healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, your family, and loved ones. And this time, what I want to talk about is meditation. In the Colorado Rocky Mountains, there is a center called Shambhala Mountain Center, where a few years ago, they did a very rigorous scientific examination of meditation. What they did is they enrolled 60 experienced practitioners in a 3-month program. Half were selected to receive intensive training and practice in meditation over these 3 months, and they did 2 group training sessions, and then for 5 or more hours a day, they did individual practice of meditation. Those who were selected but waitlisted for the retreat, they served as the controls. They put these people through a battery of behavioral and psychological measures, and what they found is those who intensely practiced this meditation of 5 or more hours a day got better at visual perception. What it meant is, in effect, their attention improved. They could actually do tasks that were both very visually demanding, boring, and score much higher on that because of their ability to concentrate. This improvement level actually lasted for 5 months after the retreat was over. Other researchers have looked at the notion of anti-aging coming about from this using of intense meditation. But they found that the meditators showed improved psychological well-being. They also improved a biological change that related to an enzyme called telomerase. This is an enzyme that, in effect, helps determine how long our cells live, and it wound up increasing the amount of this enzyme by 30%. There's also changes in giving people an increased sense of meaning and purpose in life, which can lead to increased sense of control over their life and less feelings of emotion. They also found that meditation leads to a decrease in impulsive reactions. And impulsive reactions tend to be tied to a range of health problems, including addictions and other kinds of risky behaviors. So if you want to learn how to meditate, one of the books that I've done is called Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. In 6 pages, it'll tell you everything you need to know about meditation, including the techniques that you can do. So you want to really take a look at this and the concept of meditation for yourself. Before I bring my guest on, I'd like to pause for this message. On April 15th, I'm going to be up in Toronto, Canada, doing my Switched On Selling and Switched On Network Marketing training program. It's a one-day seminar that is not a typical seminar on sales or network marketing. It's a brain rewiring approach to selling using the brain gym movement exercises that are in my book, the number one bestseller called Switched On Selling, Balance Your Brain for Sales Success. This is the number one Amazon bestseller in the sales and selling category. If you'd like to learn more about this, the details of this, you can go to teplitz.com. teplitz.com. You'll see a button that says Specialize Seminars, and just click there. You'll see Switched On Seminars. You can go right in and take a look at the information that we have there. Or you can call my 800 number. It's 800-77 and the word RELAX. April 15th in Toronto. My guest today is Dr. Veronica Anderson. She wanted to be a doctor starting at age 4. She wound up graduating with honors and internship residency at Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital and New York's Mount Sinai Medical Center. She practiced at Robert Wood Johnson, Philadelphia Wills Eye Hospital. Her focus has been the eye, ophthalmology. And then she's also appeared on national TV talk shows, and she also is the host of her own radio talk show called Wellness for the Real World on blogtalkradio.com. It's live at 8 p.m. on Tuesdays, and she's now on Old Grumpy Radio New York and Houston Daily. So welcome to Healthy Alternatives, Dr. Veronica.
Thank you, Jerry.
So I've got a question for you. As I understand now, you look at alternative modalities as well as regular medical modalities, correct?
Yes. What I do, And I do this pretty much every week on my radio show, Wellness for the Real World. I say I'm a real doctor, and that means I'm an MD. But I believe that there are many ways out there to be healthy and well. There is Western medicine, and we know a lot of that works, but there's all types of other things out there that have been there for thousands of years. And I believe that where I differ from a lot of medical practitioners, whether they be Eastern or medicine, is I'm not an ideologue. I want people to find what works for them. Therefore, I want to present to you all the options that are out there. So I'm not going to say, don't take the Prozac because that's bad for your depression. So when I did a show called Depression Cured, I had a gentleman came on who's a psychologist who wrote a book about natural alternatives to healing depression. These were for people who had failed medication. But after we talked about all that, I did a whole separate show on people who had embraced their wellness and got better from depression and had done it through medications. So I want people to know that whatever they choose, there is a right answer for you, and it's not necessarily one way or the other. Americans have these things out there, and they need to know what they are, and every individual needs to be able to choose what works.
Now, is there a way for folks to kind of look at getting healthy and what you call, I think you call it perfect health, that it's possible without medicine or surgery? So is there a way to go about that from your standpoint?
There are ways. It requires a whole shift in your attitude, and people who are into Eastern medicine, let's call it that. I'm using a very broad term there, which includes like probably 500 different things. But in Western medicine, we don't deal a lot with the way people think. We just go in, say, you have this problem, here's your medicine, we're going to cut it out, all that other type of stuff. But if you shift the way you think, and when you shift the way you think, you start making different choices, you can obtain perfect health. Now, perfect health is different. How to embrace it, I say, is different for everyone. So I'm not going to tell everyone to go out and do Chinese herbal medicine. I don't tell everybody to go do Ayurveda. I don't tell everybody to go take Norvasc Lipitor. But some people might find their wellness in those particular things.
So for you, what kind of combination, can you give us like a couple of examples, a couple of patients of how you've combined things successfully for somebody who had a specific problem?
How to combine things successfully? Well, I mean, let me just go back to something like depression, because depression is something that is so common that we see here in the United States. And depression is basically a Western disease. You don't see this in indigenous cultures. But when people first get diagnosed with it, one of the first things you start doing is taking a medication. And what we've found is that there are modalities that work better than the Celexas and the Prozacs and the things like that. So initially, you have people who are taking these medications who you find that you say, okay, you know what, take a couple thousand milligrams of fish oil. Go out and exercise a couple times a day. On my website, drveronica.com, I have a free video where I talk about the merits of tango dancing. They've actually done a study that shows that tango dancing is effective in treating depression. Why is it effective? Because it stops rumination, it stops the thinking. You got to concentrate, and people who do the dance are better off and heal better from things like depression than people who do not. And so when you present this,
hold on. So doing a waltz doesn't work, huh? It's got to be the tango.
Well, you know what? I can't tell you that they've studied waltzing particularly. They haven't studied waltzing particularly, but let me just say that these dances where we touch other people, which you realize a lot in American culture, we don't have an American dance, we don't touch other people, they release hormones. And a lot of those hormones make you feel better. Okay, so one, you're talking about a partner dance where you're touching people, and when you touch somebody, you release particular hormones that make you feel better. Two, you're in a community activity. When you go out and do something like a tango dance, when you're doing it, these parties are set up specifically to dance, not to eat, not to drink alcohol, and you're exercising. Well, exercise, aerobic exercise, has been shown to be better than taking an antidepressant.
By the way, there was some research that was just reported very, very recently that when people like have massage and are touched, the negative, quote-unquote, chemicals that the body produces to increase pain signals actually diminishes dramatically from just massage touch. So it goes right along with what you're saying about the dance and the touching that you get there as well.
Yes. So, but what you realize, and I'm sure you, Jerry, realize we're trying to tell your audience, is a lot of people don't know these things. We're very hard science here in the United States, and we want to believe that the pill works or we want a pill, but now people are beginning to embrace that there are other things that work better than the pills. And once I joked with a friend saying, one day we're going to say, people back then actually took pills. I think we're getting away from that. Now, I don't think totally. There are some things that are, you're going to, you know, you got cancer in your stage 4. It might be that you got to take the chemotherapy. But you and I probably know lots of stories of people who didn't take the chemotherapy, made major life shifts in their foods, choices, in their lifestyles, in their attitudes, and had what you called a miracle cure. Well, guess what? When I say you can have perfect health, when you shift your thinking and make different choices, but part of it shifting your thinking, understanding that your actual thinking does affect your biology, then you can obtain perfect health.
Yeah, there was actually a study that was just reported on yesterday in USA Today, and they followed 28,000 heart patients, and they found that those who had a more positive attitude about their recovery had a 30% greater chance of survival after 15 years than people who were pessimistic. So
yes.
You're talking about a big difference in how people can live and enjoy life, exactly with what you're saying in terms of attitude being a key component of that. So let's talk a little bit about relationship part of staying healthy. How do you view the impact of that on people?
Well, relationships are quite interesting, and if you listen to my show, Wellness for the Real World, we do a lot of relationships talk, and I like to stay on the edge of things and keep it exciting and talk about things that other people aren't talking about, like polyamory and dating married men and why women should be cougars and all that type of thing. And the reason why I talk about it is because having healthy relationships is quite important to your health. Generally, people who are in healthy relationships, not just any relationship, but in a healthy relationship where both partners are happy, tend to heal quicker from disease and die less from major illnesses. And these are things that are reported in medical research in actuality. Other things is that having strong community ties is something that goes along with longevity and also decreased depression, since our last discussion was about depression, community ties. So there, but it even gets more deep than that, because there are studies that show that, one, you drift to the weight of your friends, your spouse, and your siblings. And so guess what? If you want to be thin and you're hanging out with fat people, even if you're talking to them and they're across the country and they're your good friends, you're going to drift up to your weight. If you are with somebody and you marry somebody who is overweight, you're going to drift to that weight. If you're hanging out with your siblings and they're fat, you're going to drift to your weight. It's important to know that.
So has anybody figured out why the drift isn't the other way? When you're somebody who's heavy is hanging around with a thin person, doesn't drift to thin?
I don't know. I don't know. It's kind
of
interesting, but I can apply it to my own life and thinking that, you know, just where I've met my friends. I've met one of my friends while I was doing a marathon. Very good friend. I met another friend while I was in the gym one day. We were just talking, changing our clothes. Another, now she's practically my sister, okay? I started dating a gentleman, and the first thing that we liked about each other was I'm a black belt in Taekwondo. He's a third degree black belt. We connected on those type of things. These are common interests. I think a common interest and a commitment to health and wellness. You tend to be around people like that. Why don't you drift the other way? I'm not quite sure. I just, when I'm around people, I got to tell you, there are people that I've dated who were out of shape and I didn't like the way they ate. And one of the things that I just found really distasteful was that thing. I thought they were a nice person, but I'm just like, I'm not going to be able to live with this person because they're not going to run the marathons with me.
But it's interesting that you don't become a model for the, to drift. In other words, that fat, the overweight person doesn't view you as the model to drift towards for some reason. And so it's just an interesting flow of the statistics that you're going to go to fat as opposed to, you, unless you're hanging around with thin folks, you're going to tend to drift towards the obese level.
Yes, well, I mean, I even say things, and, you know, I like to be on the edge of, you know, a little bit. I'm looking and saying, okay, while America's been watching Oprah go up in size and up in millions of dollars, they've been getting fatter. If you look at the line of obesity in America, it's been all while Oprah's been there. I think America's going to get skinny now that they're not watching Oprah at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You get comfortable with it because you think it's fine because you're watching somebody that's incredibly successful who's really out there in the media. But if you strike away someone like an Oprah in that view, you also realize that people who are really disciplined and successful are usually also very fit. They're disciplined in every area of life. And so for me, when I look around at people and they can't seem to take care of their body, I'm just normally calculating that they're not taking care of the rest of their life too. And I mean, that tends to be true.
So before we continue, I'd like to remind you that you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net. And we'll be back with my guest, Dr. Veronica Anderson, and be talking more about your staying healthy from a doctor's eye view. We'll be back in just a moment.
Improve your golf game today. It's absolutely possible using the DVD Par and Beyond, Secrets to Better Golf, from stress management coach Dr. Jerry Teplitz. Par and Beyond is a revolutionary new concept that yields immediate results. You'll experience the difference the very next time you play. Even the golf pros love this method. Randy Taylor hadn't placed in a tournament for 8 years, but just 1 week after taking this seminar, he came in second. It's not just in your swing, it's in your head. That's why T&I Golf Magazine calls Dr. Teplitz a headmaster. Par and Beyond, Secrets to Better Golf is available on DVD. You can get it by clicking on the Par and Beyond cover on the webtalkradio.net screen in front of you. You'll learn new, powerful techniques that will instantly improve your game, whether you're a pro or a duffer. This is your new secret to success on the course. It's a totally different approach, and it comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. And don't tell your golf buddies. You're about to become a winner.
So I'm talking now with Dr. Veronica Anderson. She is a doc who knew she wanted to be a doc at age 4. She went pre-med at Princeton. She graduated, received the MD with honors. She's had internships at New York's Mount Sinai Hospital, Robert Wood Johnson University. And she's a fellow of the American Academy of Ophthalmology and a diplomat in the American Board of Ophthalmology. But she's also got the side of her that looks at alternatives, and she's been on national radio talk shows. She's got her own radio talk show, which is on blogtalkradio.com. It's called Wellness for the Real World. It's live at 8 p.m. She also has a show on Old Grumpy Radio New York and Houston, and her website is www.askdrveronica.com. So in the break, Dr. Veronica, you and I were talking about what you're having to eat on a date. Why don't you talk about that to our listeners?
Yes. Well, this is an interesting subject matter because women need to pay attention to what their date is eating. And why do you need to pay attention to what your date is eating?
You mean they're not supposed to just stare into their eyes?
Well, you can stare in their eyes, but you need to just make sure that you're watching what they're eating, okay? Why is this important? It used to be that we thought that it was just the mother. It was important when you have a baby, what you're eating. Now we know from what's called epigenetics that what the father is eating is important in what's going to happen to your offspring. So if you're
out
with a guy,
go ahead. For our listeners, tell us what epigenetics is, because they may not know what that means.
Okay, so I want to make it very simple. It's just study about when you're passing on your genes, when you're passing on your DNA, when the sperm and the egg get together, the man's contributing the sperm, what's in that sperm and what's happening. And what's going to happen is when you're with someone and they're eating hamburger and fries all the time, that's affecting the quality of their sperm such that the DNA, the genetic material that's being passed on, could have negative attributes to it. And guess what? If you're out with a guy, even though he looks great now because he's young and he's supple, okay, he's eating that pizza, burger, and fries all the time, your children are more likely to be obese. Now we know this from medical studies. So there's a lot that's going into it. The fathers, you're not off the hook. Just like we now know, we used to think that when mothers were older, the genetic material was poor, and fathers, they could have babies into perpetuity. Well, guess what? If Crystal Harris has a baby with Hugh Hefner, it's going to be Hugh Hefner's fault if the baby has five eyes. Because we now know that the sperm of older men does carry some problems with it. Now, this is not to say don't marry who you love, but women, if you want to have the best offspring possible, don't just consider where he's taking you to the restaurant and how much money he's spending on you. Watch what they're eating. And the guy eating pizza and hamburger who's now, and he, maybe he's fit and trim. Later on, one, he's probably going to be obese, but two, he's passing on genetic material that will probably make you have a child that may be overweight.
As a matter of fact, not too long ago, there was the movie Super Size Me,
yes.
The guy who ate at McDonald's for 30 days,
yes.
And he basically nearly died. And the docs were horrified as to, you know, how his body had changed in 30 days. The plus side, I would think, is that if that guy gets smart, and if the woman is saying, if you want me, here's some things you need to do, if they're willing to really change diet, then that should mean that in a period of time, they may actually be able to change their genes into a much healthier, and their epigenes into a much healthier version. Would you?
Yes, but the conversation also becomes different. I had this guy say to me, I want you to have a baby for me, okay? And I said back, if I'm having your baby, that means I get to control what your diet is now, because I now know that what you're eating is going to affect the child that we have. So the conversation doesn't just become the woman starting to take vitamins and preparing and stopping smoking and drinking and everything to have the baby. It now becomes that the father needs to do the same thing to have the best chance of a beautiful child. And that's not just the perfect baby when they come out into the future. When they're the obese adult, it might be that dad had control over that when he was having the fun part of the relationship. Okay. But I mean, these are things that we need to know about science, and how do you incorporate science into your life? And so I'm telling you, women, you need to start looking at men in a different way.
Now, let's talk, since you mentioned about relationships from the positive side in terms of health, is there a side of relationships when you're in a bad one that it's triggering the negative side for people's health?
Absolutely, because that's called stress. And we all know the negatives of stress. And so there are many studies that show that married people are better off with health and blah, blah, blah. But why is it 100% correlation? Because a lot of relationships aren't so hot. But it's not just marriage. It's people being part of a community and a caring relationship. So when you're in a bad relationship, a lot of people can tell you, I mean, if you know anybody, how they were physically ill when they were in negative relationships. And when they actually got out of those relationships, all of a sudden, wow, you know, I don't have any more headaches. I don't have any more stomach aches. Well, guess what? When you're having those physical symptoms, there's something going on in your body that's negative. And now we know the way you think and the way you feel really affects what's going to happen in your body. I mean, Dr. Bruce Lipton wrote a book called The Biology of Belief, The Biology of Belief, and it talks about the microbiology of how your thinking changes your cells. This is not wackadoodle. This is not woo-woo. Now we have what Americans want, which is hard science, behind the how you think is going to affect what happens in your body.
So I can see in the future a doc writing a prescription that when somebody gets ill, go take a two-week vacation without your spouse so you can see if the symptoms are spouse-related.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think about that because, you know, years ago, Dr. Dean Ornish did studies that show that heart patients who practice meditation and yoga do better in recovering from their heart condition than people who have surgery or use medications, people who have stents and things like that. Well, I think now that when you go to the doctor, you should get a prescription to the yoga studio because we know now that meditation changes a lot of things. Now, what is meditation? It's a way of thinking. And we know there are so many studies that show that yoga and meditation are positive on just all kinds of medical ailments. Now, and this was shown, I mean, Dean Ornish, who's a cardiologist years ago, most people know his name, showed this several years ago. Okay, so now that we're starting to say, okay, it's here, it's there, we need to start changing the way we practice medicine. But on the other hand, let me just tell you, when I was on the airplane and they said, is there a physician on board, and a guy was crashing and burning, me, ophthalmologist MD, was able to crack open the code kit and keep the guy from dying with another physician on the plane in an acute situation. And so when people want to say throw away Western medicine, when they said that there's their physician on board, they didn't mean was there a chiropractor or acupuncturist, a Chinese herbalist or anything like that. They meant somebody who knew how to run the code so the guy didn't turn blue on the airplane.
Yeah,
so we need to get realistic and realize that there's a place for all of us in the mix.
And I think that's where Western medicine excels, in the acute emergency kind of approach, where you need to take major action, you take it right now, and you've got that kind of capability. So I got one more question for you.
Sure.
Because you're a doctor, I know Hippocrates said, and he's the father of medicine, let thy food be thy medicine, and thy medicine be thy fool, spelled F-O-O-L. Can you tell us what he was meaning by that?
Let it be the fool, the medicine. Well, first of all, we all know lots of foods that have medicinal properties. And I love to go someplace and meet someone and they say, oh, I'm having this or that or the other kind of issue. And I say, why don't you try this particular type of tea? Why don't you try, oh, you're trying to lose weight, think about oolong tea. Oh, it's allergy season. Do you know that rooibos tea is helpful for that? You want to feel more alert. How about some mint? Do you want to, you know, thin your blood, and maybe some garlic? You want to, be a more vital lover? Why don't you use maca, which is a root that's found in places like Peru? And so we know that there are lots of substances which are herbs and teas and plants that we can use to promote our wellness and actually even treat diseases. So what exactly Hippocrates meant, I can't tell you. I got to tell you something interesting. When I was graduating from medical school, I was actually pregnant, and I had my child and missed the Hippocratic Oath. So when they gave the Hippocratic Oath, I missed it. And let me just tell you.
Wait a minute. Hold on. We're taking your license away from you because you missed the most important part.
Well, maybe that's why I'm out here talking both ways instead of staying on one particular way.
Right. So I've got to wrap up now. I've been talking to Dr. Veronica Anderson. And if you want to learn more about her, you go to her website at askdrveronica.com. And again, she has her own radio show on blogtalkradio.com, Wellness for the Real World, live at 8 p.m. on Tuesdays. And she's on Old Grumpy Radio New York and Houston Daily. So, Dr. Veronica, thank you for being a guest on Healthy Alternatives.
It was great, Jerry. Thank you very much.
Next week, I'm going to be talking to Carrie Cody. Carrie is Executive Director of Brain Gym International. She holds a master's degree in teaching. She's a former school teacher. She left the classroom to pursue this concept of Brain Gym, and now she's Executive Director. Brain Gym is a way of using very simple body movement exercises to create very dramatic changes in how you feel and function. It's a pretty amazing healthy alternative. You don't want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you can find out more about me at teplitz.com or follow me on Facebook and Twitter. And on teplitz.com, I put out a monthly blog. You can take a look there as well. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.